Hey guys, welcome back to Reality TV. It's good to be back this week. Hopefully you've been checking out and loving We Love to Hate Everything. We just released our third episode earlier this morning, and we're talking about SNL, Ellen, and the fallout of that. Maybe another podcaster who gets under our skin a little bit. You know, just lots of stuff in the pop culture arena. So head on over there. I hope that you guys love it. You subscribe and you can listen to me weekly over there. But I'm back this week to talk about 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After. But, you know, it's been a while since I've talked to you. And I want to share what I've been watching, things that I found that I really want to share with you, because, you know, most of us love a good documentary. And I want to highlight this series that I found on HBO Max. It may have been on there for a while, but I just saw it the other day and I've been binging it ever since. It's called Generation Hustle, and there's 10 episodes. I've been able to knock out three of them in between mulching and housework and other boring kind of crap that you guys don't want to hear about. But the episodes that I watched so far were episode 2 on WeWork, that Adam, Adam something or other. You guys know who I'm talking about. There's also another documentary on WeWork. It's really good. The episode on Anna Delvey, she was this fake German socialite, and she scammed all these hotels out of money and her so-called friends out of money. And then there's like a little twist in it, one of the people they're interviewing. And then the latest one I watched was the frat boy Ponzi. And this kid was doing like hedge funds, or he didn't even know if he was doing hedge funds. It's crazy. And it's so good. They move really fast. They're only like 45 minutes. I highly suggest that one. I know it's a subscription with HBO Max, but, you know, between all of us, I'm sure we can share logins if that's allowed, if you know what I mean. Okay. Also on HBO Max, The Killer Truth. This is 8 episodes. I know, I told you I'm giving you some really good ones, not just one-offs here. You have a full season, 8 episodes on all of these different murders that happened, but they are told from the 5 people that are closest or most connected to the case, which is kind of cool, right? Now, this one is not as deep, but it's a real throwback. And if you have not watched this show in its entirety, you're really missing out, and this is a great opportunity to get into it. Reno 911. Now, I know a lot of people don't really get the show. They don't like it, or they're like, oh, I saw an episode and it was kind of just weird and too much improv. But if you get into it, and once you get the backstories and the little inside jokes, it's so good. It has lots of comedians or comics and actors, actresses that you'll know that guest star or who star in the show. There's like Niecy Nash and Wendy McCovey, whatever. You know who I'm talking about. The one who's in Bridesmaids and all that stuff. Also over on Netflix, I want to talk to you guys because I know The Circle has been a big hit, and I really liked the first season that we got here in the U.S. I fully bought in. I watched the whole thing. Now, of course, I can't remember any of their names because, you know, it's in one ear, out the other eyeball. But I just couldn't watch this season, mainly because that British chick, I want to say her name is Emily, everything she says is screaming and yelling and throwing her leg up on a table or hopping herself up onto the back of the couch or a table. And being British and screaming is her personality. It just bugs me because, you know, she's gorgeous and she knew it. So that's all she needed growing up, because people were like, oh my God, you're so pretty and your accent's so cute. I guess I'm just showing my deep down feelings inside, and maybe I'm a little jealous, but also she drove me freaking nuts, so I can't watch the show. I also thought Lance Bass's assistant, who was pretending to be him, I really wanted to like her at first, but then the decisions that she made in the episode and a half that I saw when she entered, I was like, what the hell are you doing? Why would you do that? I don't even know Lance Bass, and I know this is going to be probably an unpopular opinion because I've said this before. I always thought he was the ugliest member of NSYNC. Not that I'm a big looker. I mean, I would not have even made NSYNC, probably because I'm a female and I'm far too old. But where was I even going with this? I don't know. It's been a long time since I talked to you guys. So you're just going to kind of go on my wavelength of thinking here. So yeah, the circle, I couldn't do it. Someone let me know who won, or I'm sure I could just Google it, but it's more fun to listen to the snark going around in the Facebook group. All right, now, speaking of TV and the lack thereof, sure, we always have our Datelines, our 2020s. Now 48 Hours is rarely on, or if it is, it's like a 15-year-old episode. The first 48, however, on A&E, still one of the best shows ever, and you can rewatch episodes. There's like 49 seasons of it. Really good. But it's just been dry for me. I have always prided myself. I've never been ashamed to say I have watched every episode, every season of every city of Real Housewives until this year. I could not keep watching Dallas. I think I watched the first two episodes and I was out. I just could not do it. And I know a lot of people have been talking about the reunion that they just had, something with Cam. And normally I would be like, oh, I got to check it out or catch up. But there's just something about Dallas I cannot get into. I don't know if it's the personalities of the women or just the atmosphere or the vibe they all give off. I just cannot get into it. Same thing with Jersey. And I hate to say that. Like, New Jersey used to be one of the best seasons, or the best cities, I should say. But there's just nothing to it anymore. Melissa and Joe's storyline is always the same, or at least it has been for the last, what, five or six seasons, where she's like, I don't want to be a housewife. I want to have a career. And then she pretends to be a singer or an entrepreneur. She's opening up a shop. It's the same stuff, and it's so fake. So I'm tired of the Joe Melissa stuff. Then with Teresa and her boyfriend, where she wants everyone to know that she's sexual, but don't you dare ask her about it. So stupid. And I just can't watch someone as desperate and as stupid as Teresa getting herself into a relationship where I'm sure the guy is totally smarmy. I haven't even watched to that point. I haven't seen the guy. I think I stopped watching at the pineapple. Well, I guess they talked about pineapple every freaking episode. Again, we get it. You're sexual. You eat pineapple. It's a whole thing. Lame. Trying to think what episode it was that I stopped watching. Oh, when Dolores was talking to Frankie in the closet about going to get her boobs checked out. Oh, that brings me to Teen Mom 2, you guys. I'll get back to Real Housewives in a second, but this season of Teen Mom 2 is completely boring. It's not worth watching, only if you are into Leah. Okay, watch Leah Messer, Calvert, Sims, Messer, whatever her last name is now. Her scenes are hilarious. She is the teen mom that I will never get tired of watching because she is so stupid. She is so self-righteous and ignorant and just beautifully stupid and unaware of how she comes off. It's amazing. So this season, her platform is giving yourself self-breast exams in order to find lumps, which of course, I mean, I'm not saying like, hey, don't give yourself breast exams. Go get your mammograms, everyone. But Leah's whole thing is, you know, give yourself breast exams so that you can find lumps. But she herself was like, I was just scratching my chest in the car and I found a lump. And I was like, girls is, I found a lump. I need to go get it checked out. One thing leads to another. And she starts saying, that instead of a sonogram, she's like, I have to go to the imaging center because my obstetrician, my right breasts, the way she says her S's, like she loves this. What she found out is a benign tumor in her breast. It is like her platform speech this season. It's going to be so good. Those of you who don't watch the show probably think I sound like an asshole right now. But if you know Leah, you know that this is the non-cancer storyline she needs in order to stay on the show, basically, because otherwise she has nothing to talk about except her daughter's muscular dystrophy, which she kind of exploits. But let's not get into the ethics of reality TV, because what kind of life will we all be living? If you love to eat but dread dinner planning, come and sit next to me. Welcome to my world. I always have the best intentions of serving up an easy, delicious, and bonus points if it's a healthy dinner during the week, but I'm not a superhero. It's just baby steps at this point. So when HelloFresh sent me a few meals to try, I was excited because already I loved Green Chef, who's now owned by HelloFresh. And then I made the meals, ate them, and my kids ate them, and I was sold. So I used my own promo code, signed up for 2 meals a week, and it has been life-changing for our family. It's taken a huge amount of stress off my grocery planning, and it's gotten other members of my marriage to help out with meals during the week. Now, I have my favorites for sure that when I see them in the options of 25 plus new recipes every single week, I choose them immediately. Any of the Kraft burgers are so good. There's one we had several weeks ago with Frank's Red Hot sauce, and I may have eaten more than one of those. And let's talk about the portions here. This is coming from a Clean Plate for Life member who has never not finished a meal. We consistently have leftovers, and there's 4 of us with, let's just call them, mature appetites. Now, some of my other favorites to keep an eye out for, the Thai ginger curry was a surprising hit for me, and I'm not normally a vegetarian meal fan, but it was freaking incredible. So if you're vegan, vegetarian, keep your eye out for that one. And no matter what you choose, ribs to salmon, shrimp to some of the takeout style meals, everything is on the table in 30 minutes or less. So not only is it cheaper than shopping for your meals at the grocery store by 28%, it's also easier on the family chef, and HelloFresh makes the cleanup a breeze because all your wrappers, which are not that many, all the food scraps, you just toss them into the same brown paper bag that your food comes in. And done, your cleanup is so, so easy. So like I said before, I order 2 meals a week, but you can order up to 4 meals each week, delivered right to your door, nice and cold, so no worries if you're not home or it's the heat of the summer. And if plans change, I've made my HelloFresh meals 4, 5, sometimes 6 days later with no issues on freshness whatsoever. You have to check out this deal because I'm telling you, this is a massive value. You have nothing to lose. Go to HelloFresh.com/RealityTV12 and use code RealityTV12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. You heard that right. There's no gimmicks, no gotchas. HelloFresh wants you to know how good they are. That's HelloFresh.com/RealityTV12. Use code RealityTV12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. Now you know why HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. Check the show notes for an easy link. That's HelloFresh.com/RealityTV12. Thank you, HelloFresh. Back to Real Housewives for just a second. Real Housewives of New York. I hate to be the bearer of bad news once again. I mean, I'm a huge Debbie Downer this episode. But I don't know about this season. I will absolutely watch it. I will never give up on Real Housewives of New York because that is a mainstay. It is the place you go that you know no matter how bad it is, there's still going to be something that feels like home, even though Ramona Singer is likely, surely we've all seen, racist and classist and probably ageist, every ist there is. It's just comforting in a way to know she's a terrible person and I love watching her. And someday, hopefully, she will get hers. It's kind of like, you know, my grandparents back in the day, my grandma, my great aunt, we would go to see them and they would absolutely make comments that were inappropriate, that are definitely not PC today. And you'd be like, oh my God, grandma, but you still love going over there because you love her. And she always has a fresh batch of Brock's candy from the Jewel Osco that's over there. And she always gets the ones with the caramel, with a little bit of raspberry in the middle that are your favorite. But you just don't want them to say aloud in the restaurant what they were saying before you went in. You know what I mean? Okay. Now, speaking of women that I love, I need to get everyone on the Judge Judy train if you are not already. I have been going back into the archives of Judge Judy. Every so often, I go to my DVR and I start going, instead of record all new episodes, I'll just record all episodes because there's 2 episodes every day. I realize that I myself now sound like my grandma did when she would talk about her stories, her soap opera she'd watch every day. But that's my Judge Judy. My judge is killing it during this pandemic. You know, I always wondered where Judith, if I may be so bold, where Ms. Shindland would fall on the side of politics. Not that it would change my mind about her, because I really do feel like we would get along. I feel like she would think I was real quick, you know? She would probably read me and she'd say something really nasty about me to me, but it would totally be okay. But I feel like we would get each other. We would respect each other on some level. I just imagine myself on a yacht with her. Is that not the weirdest thing ever? And actually, I bet you Ramona Singer probably hangs out with her. But anyway, Judge Judy, during this pandemic, has grown her hair out into ponytail length. I know, ponytail. Now, we saw it growing out about a year ago, but now it is coiffed. I'm pulling up words from Judith's era. Her hair is perfectly done. It's got some volume to it. She may have gotten some sort of, maybe not implant, but thickening system. She looks amazing. No more is it the curl back, you know, where you just tease it in the middle. And she is holding people's feet to the flame on this pandemic issue. You come in there and you want to sue a party facility because they didn't have enough chairs for your child's first birthday. Well, what were you doing having a child's first birthday party during a pandemic? I mean, she is not taking any shit. And it's so incredible because people are not expecting it. Now, I also want to point out the other stars of the show. If you're like, okay, Judge Judy, I don't really get the appeal. If you like people watching, this is the place to go. You know, we have not had any museums where we can go and sit down, just watch people walk back and forth. Even the street, we can't do that anymore. I used to love going downtown Chicago or even wherever, the local grocery strip mall, and just sit and watch people. And I'm not kidding. Like, I do this all the time with my kids, well, before pandemic. And I would just teach them the appreciation of people watching, because that is more entertaining than anything on earth. Forget a circus. Forget Cirque du Soleil. Watching normal people go about their day is actually hilarious. And it's just very good sociology studies as well. I try to make that sound smart, but let's be real. I'm just like waiting for someone to trip on a crack in a sidewalk. Anyhow, you can't do that anymore because it completely changes things when people have masks on. People are very focused on where they're going, what they're doing, and they're focused because you can't play or answer texts and stuff on your phone when you have a mask on. You're like, Jody, what the hell are you talking about? The mask doesn't go over your eyes. But I'm telling you, take note if you yourself are walking and answering text messages or sending emails on your phone, or if you feel like you have to concentrate more, because I've seen it and I've experienced it, less people on their phones when you're wearing a mask, because we're humans and we're stupid. What was I talking about? Oh, right. So people watching, the people who come on Judge Judy. Now, I used to love looking at all the paid extras in the background, the courtroom spectators. They're not on anymore. And every so often, it would be like one in 200 episodes, one of the extras in the audience would be laughing or snickering or smiling. And Judge Judy would get so pissed and she'd be like, you out, get him out. It's like, whoa, they are not getting hired back. They're not getting that $25 today or craft services. Anyhow, the people that go on these shows are not only real litigants, you're really getting the best of the best. You have families who are fighting over 1982 cars, just really pathetic, sad stuff. And then you just get people on there that are perfectly nice, but they have unfortunate names. My favorite one of all time was, I think it was Sharon or Shelley Booby. And Judge Judy, she's such a professional. She did not skip a beat. She was just like, oh, Ms. Booby. And she's like, yes, my name is Sharon Booby. And then for the rest of the time, she would just refer to her as Madam because I think then she was like really smart and she could probably make a real wise ass crack about Booby, Mrs. Booby, Mr. and Mrs. Booby, Booby Party of Two. God bless her. I love her to death. I think she should just hire me for PR at this point, but you got to watch the show. I really hope she does not retire after this season because it's like, what, 20, 25 seasons so far? Please don't have 2020, 2021 take away my judge from me. And if you guys already know that this is her last season, don't tell me. I need to find out in my own time. I'm going to need a day. It's going to be just as devastating for me as it was when the whole COVID thing happened and all of the grocery store salad bars shut down. Because you know my favorite thing to do is to go make myself a salad at a grocery store salad bar because it always tastes better than making your own at home. It's just a plain fact. It's a scientific fact. It's always going to taste better. Maybe they have like a little pasta salad you put in just the corner of your little square thing and then that lid snaps on and you go to pay and it's like an $18 salad and you're like, I'm not going to eat all 2 pounds of that, but you totally will. That would be my favorite thing. Bring that home and either watch Real Housewives or Judge Judy. All right, let me just take a moment here. Whew, collect my thoughts. And now let's talk about some 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After. This show needs help. It needs to just be put down. I will never understand why producers put their heads together and chose these couples for the show. I would rather have single people who got denied and follow them and see what the hell's going on. And I understand there's The Single Life. I actually hate that show. I will only watch the bedtime story, couples, couch, pillow talk. I will only watch the pillow talk of The Single Life. But I think on this Happily Ever After question mark, they could have put some of those single people on there, not to see them go dating, but just to see the mess that they're getting into. All right, so let's just talk about Julia and Brandon. Ugh, my God, what the hell? If we're going to be stuck in Dinwiddie, Virginia, at least give us some Betty and Ron just to keep things spicy, keep our blood pressure raised. We have Julia and Brandon, who are so beige and boring. Well, all the couples on the show, for the most part, are. But we're watching Julia's journey to become a wedding planner now. Okay. Can we just know right now that that's not going to be a thing, at least for a very, very long time? Julia's wedding wasn't even that successful, not because of COVID, but she couldn't even convince her own husband to write out the vows on that canvas before they got to the church. He wasn't even done with that. So how is she going to make sure that everyone else, all of her vendors, execute what they need to get done? And did you see what she was wearing? She's got this affinity for gym shoes and socks. And I don't care if it's a current fashion trend. She's wearing it all the time, everywhere. And it's just a very immature sort of aesthetic. Like, does she want people to take her seriously? Or does she want people to look at her like a little girl? She and, what's her name, Natalie, they have the same sort of little girl thing that they do. And it creeps me out. Julia, even when she went for her green card interview, she's wearing jeans in the slip-on shoes. And when she went to this interview with this woman for the wedding planner job, which wasn't really a job, like she thought it was going to be an interview, but the woman was more like, this is going to be on the local news and I'm mentoring her for the paid 40 minutes that I'm contracted to. So Julia goes in there thinking that she's going to nail a job or meet a friend or something. And it was just really uncomfortable because she was just nodding and saying, yes, I agree to everything. It is time to shake things up. Now, you already know how Ritual multivitamins have changed my and my family's morning routine, but now I'm stoked to tell you about their all-new protein powder. But hold up, Ritual's team of scientists have totally reimagined protein from all angles. This is not Ronnie from Jersey Shore's loaded protein shake that's full of who knows what. You're going to love this whether you're counting reps at the gym or listening to your favorite podcast while you're walking Fido around the block. And I'll be honest, I'm not typically a protein shake kind of gal because, first of all, that huge container hogs my entire pantry space and there's a list of crazy ingredients. You know, I'm not a bodybuilder. What am I supposed to do with this? Do I even need a protein shake? But But remember those ritual scientists? Well, they formulated a clean plant-based formula with 20 grams of pea protein with no added sugar alcohols, essential choline, and only non-GMO ingredients. Plus, with three formulations based on your life stage and your unique needs, you're getting the protein your body needs on a cellular level. But let me talk about the taste here, because that's what it all comes down to for me. When I think protein shakes, I think chalky and tastes like chemical residue. But get this, Ritual uses direct from farmer vanilla bean extract, sustainably harvested in Madagascar, to deliver a completely different and natural tasting shake. Now, about the shake part, you can mix it with water or milk, or you can do what I do. I'm going to give you a little recipe here. I scoop it into my iced coffee. I just pack a cup of ice and I brew an easy K-cup right into it, add a scoop of Ritual's vanilla essential protein, and there you have it. It's all-in-one delicious coffee that I can sip on guilt-free. I don't add milk, but I'm sure it would be insanely good with a dash of that, or just mix it up with water, whatever you have on hand. So why not shake up your Ritual? And to make trying something new less scary, Ritual offers a money-back guarantee if you're not 100% in love. Plus, my listeners get 10% off during your first 3 months. Just visit ritual.com/realityTV to add essential protein today. That's ritual.com/realityTV. Check the show notes for an easy link. ritual.com/realityTV. Now, Brandon is just a terrible actor. He's at home pretending that he's playing video games, and then he just comes up with this wacky idea that Julia should be friends with his old friend from high school. It's so concocted and cooked up, and Julia's not a great actress either. That preview for next week where she storms out of the restaurant, first of all, that's crazy if that's real, but second of all, it's not. They absolutely scripted it, and it's just stupid. I feel like producers should be able to have a point in time once they're on location that they could just be like, this isn't working, because I actually think that would make really good TV. If all of a sudden they were like, production found out Julia wasn't really looking for a job or something. Wouldn't that be amazing to get a black screen like that and be like, production, check the hell out because they're fake and phony. That is the kind of stuff that really makes reality TV fun. Those black screens, or 90 Day Fiancé sometimes does the red or the blue. That's what I love. Now let's talk about Tiffany here. We know Tiffany loves a cold shoulder moment. Everything is off the shoulder. Is it really that warm wherever the hell she lives? I don't get that whole look. And at some point, doesn't it just ride up? Maybe I have rounded shoulders, but it just seems like a lot of work. I spend a lot of time pulling my jeans up off my flat ass, so I can't imagine trying to pull my exhilaration from Target off the shoulder frock down here. I'm pulling the jeans up. It's just a lot of extra work she's making for herself, especially when she's swinging bangs up onto her hip every moment. Like, does that kid ever walk? Just say no to bangs on kids. I know I'm an asshole, but that is such a heavy bang moment. Don't do that to her. She's going to look back and hate you when she sees what you've done to her. I kind of feel like Bangs is an aggressive child, too. It seems like she's always telling Daniel to go take care of Bangs because Bangs is banging things all over the place. And poor Daniel. He's such a sweet kid, but I kind of feel like he's leaning into the camera like he knows he had a good first season. You know, like housewives do. They're like, yeah, everyone likes me. Think a Siggy Flicker. I hope Daniel doesn't go down the Siggy Flicker route. That's all I'm saying. I still like him. I feel bad for him, especially because he's calling Ronald my dad. Didn't they meet in person for the first time when we saw them last season or the last time they were on? I know that they've visited since then, but it seems like the my dad thing should have come after they got married, not before. So I feel terribly for Daniel. I feel terribly for Tiffany because Ronald seems to be not the best provider or the best partner that Tiffany could have, but she chose him, and maybe she doesn't have Daniel idolize him so much. I don't know how she would do that. It just seems like this is a really bad situation, and it's just dragging out. I know it's easy for me to say, but maybe some of you who have been in a somewhat similar situation, at what point do you just call it? Because it seems like she's been miserable since even before they got married. It seems like just the longer that she drags it out, the worse it's going to be for her and the kids. And he's just going to become more bitter because he's going to feel like he's been let on, right? All right, Jovi and Yara. She's really nailing the motherhood thing from what we can see, which makes it very difficult for everyone watching the show. If you have babies or you're going to have your first, I want to give you full permission right now, if no one else gives it to you and if you are not hearing it from the universe or anywhere else, looking at Yara here is not normal. That's not normal at all. Being able to do up your makeup and have the perfectly gloss lips and the eyelashes and all that, you're seeing her highlight reel, and she's just an abnormal human. Just know you're going to feel like your body has been taken over by someone and something else. Even if you don't breastfeed like Yara, your body just is a science experiment for a good, 3-4 months after you give birth. The biggest advice I could give you, okay, I'm not going to go on baby advice here, but the biggest advice I could give you is before you go have that baby, go and get yourself cute loungewear that you're going to feel good just hanging around the house. If you can get a shower in and you put on some really cute leggings or yoga pants or a cute sweatshirt or t-shirt, go and get that ahead of time. Because my first time around, I never would have thought of that. So I didn't. I didn't have any comfortable sports bras or anything like that that I could throw on. You know, you don't always want to wear an underwire bra if you're nursing or not. You just want to be able to have something supportive hanging around the house but still feel clean and cute. I didn't do that. So I was throwing on my old workout pants and one of Dave's t-shirts. And I felt like shit all the time, even if I was showered. I wanted to feel like Yara, but that was as close as I can get. So what the hell am I talking about? Okay, just know that you are going to look like Yara, even if you don't look like Yara. You just got to believe it in your heart. She's the goal, but she's not reality. Now, in saying all that, I guess I should say Jovi is not fully appreciating what he has here. I actually think Jovi will be a good dad. I'm surprised I'm saying this because he does absolutely love Yara. He loves this baby. He's more laid back, but sometimes, and I'm saying this looking back on it with some perspective, you kind of need one parent to be like that, because if you're both high anxiety type A like Yara is and like I was, you can't have two people like that because it's just going to be a stress ball in that house. You need someone who's going to be like, you're fine. The baby's breathing. You can put her down. It's going to be okay. Do you want to hear that all the time? Hell no. And Yara doesn't want to hear all the time. And she's kind of right. I mean, I think that first month, the baby is going to want to be on the mom and all that. And Jovi doesn't totally understand that, but he's not wrong. And Yara does need to let him change the diaper and hold the baby how he's going to hold the baby. Daddies do it different. It's a book, and you can go ahead and get that for your kids yourself. At some point, Yara is going to regret that because little Myla is not going to want to be put down for a nap by Jovi because she's always done it. She's going to get herself in a corner there and she's going to totally regret it. Just let him figure it out on his own. He may hold her different and she learns to just relax with him that way. Can I just move on from this baby shit? I'm boring myself with this. Okay, whatever. Moving on from the baby talk here. Elizabeth and Andre, I don't give a shit. They're so fake. I can't stomach even talking about them, so I'm not. Bye-bye. Now, Michael and Angela. All right, let's get into this here. Okay, speaking of nursing and boobs and all that kind of stuff, Angela is about to get her breast reduction, breast lift. She's getting her gastric sleeve, the whole shebang. Of course, she smoked a cigarette that morning, and it kills me that she did that because can you imagine how many people would do anything for that surgery? And here she is just puffing away the opportunity. I'm guessing she's getting this surgery at cost or free for all the publicity, maybe. So she smokes her cigarette, goes there, doesn't say a damn word to them that she smoked it. Michael gets on the camera and he's like waving bye to her boobs like a 3-year-old child. Bye bye, boobies. And then Natalie, patient coordinator, makes her way around Angela's chair and turns around. And I saw the complete outfit. Now, last week on We Love to Hate Everything, I was telling Amanda that her, well, I guess you can't really call it a pantsuit because she had the pants and she had the blazer, but there was no top underneath. It was like a bra top that was the same polyester material as the blazer in the pants last week, which was so bizarre. I still don't understand how they merchandise that in the store. A bikini top, full trouser pants, and a blazer. Anyhow, what she was wearing this week, she has, without a doubt, the exact same outfit that the girl who was Patrick Dempsey's love interest in the 1980s, I'm guessing, movie Can't Buy Me Love was wearing. Please tell me you have all seen that movie because it is exactly that outfit. Remember the girl in it got red wine spilled on it and it was her mom's fringe jacket stained so she couldn't give it back to her mom and then she had to like earn money so she could replace it. Remember the whole thing? That's the jacket. She is bringing Can't Buy Me Love back and it has never looked worse. I don't want a patient coordinator walking in the room with her jacket falling off of her body, her boobs, her underboob hanging out. I don't want to have my flesh have to touch her flesh as I'm preparing for surgery. There's something very off there. And then I was trying to look into it as, you know, I always do. If Dr. Obang and Natalie were banging, or if Natalie and the nerdy doctor were, I definitely don't think Obang and Natalie are doing it because he kind of like looked right through her. I don't think she's really his type. The nerdy one, I could see them having a little tryst against the file cabinets in the back room. Like, they're keeping her around for something. It's definitely not for how she dresses or how she acts or how she takes care of her patients. For a patient coordinator, she couldn't even stop Angela from not smoking right before she walked in the office. Like, what good are you, Natalie? Someone needs to bring her up to HR, I'm just saying. Please, pretty please, with zero guilt on top, you have to try Magic Spoon cereal. To this day, the cereal aisle is my favorite place in the store because not only is it filled with childhood nostalgia, but also because carbs with cold milk are my love language. Now, on that same note, come on, cereal companies, why you gotta make everything so unhealthy? I have sworn off cereal except for very rare occasions because have you ever really looked at the labels? There's so much sugar and junk we should not be eating or giving our kids to eat, but not with Magic Spoon. 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. Only 140 calories in a serving. It's keto-friendly, gluten-friendly, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. But how does it taste, right? Well, I wanted an unbiased, blind opinion, so I went to the newly diagnosed diabetic, my husband, and I told him to try some of this peanut butter cereal I just bought. I put it in a bowl, just gave it to him. So he tried a bite, and he was like, I cannot eat this stuff anymore, but expletive, I'd love to because it's really good. He had no idea Magic Spoon is actually super nutritious and loaded with healthy ingredients. So needless to say, he's had a bowl of peanut butter Magic Spoon for breakfast all last week. Then he got creative and he actually mixed some of the cocoa cereal and the peanut butter together and, you know, he's puffing his chest like Emerald, but it made me feel happy for him that he could eat cereal again. But health diagnoses aside, Magic Spoon is just a healthier way to feed yourself and your kids. You don't have to worry about it being filled with weird sugars or unhealthy food dyes. I know it sounds too good to be true and it certainly tastes too good to be true, but it is. I'm just giving you the facts. Magic Spoon's flavors are so delicious, and there's a box for everyone. The variety pack is our favorite in my house because there's peanut butter for Dave. I love the cocoa and frosted, and my kids devour the fruity and the frosted ones too. But there's also blueberry and cinnamon. You can add those in the rotation. And don't forget to drink the milk too when you're done eating because, dear Lord, that's second breakfast. And the cocoa milk that's left over after the cereal is so delicious. delicious, and I'm not even a chocolate milk fan. It's the best of all the carb and non-carb worlds, I'm telling you. Go to magicspoon.com/Jodie, J-O-D-I-E, to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use my promo code Jodie, J-O-D-I-E, at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in the product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next bowl of delicious guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/Jodie and use the code Jodie to save $5 off. Check the show notes for an easy link. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode and making one very happy husband. All right, now, Kalani and Asuelu. Well, I mean, Asuelu is still the little boy, Forrest Gump, that we know and we love, but we also hate him because he is the immature embodiment of every grown man boy. Every man who has never grown up, who was never taught by his mom or his dad how to take accountability for anything or how to speak your mind without insulting people. He is just all of that. He's some sort of little creature that should have been an Inside Out, like that asshole over there. We got to figure him out. And then, I don't know, maybe he gets knocked over by one of the emotion balls or something. But Asuelu is a mess. Kalani does not deserve that shit. She also doesn't deserve to break a bench when she's out shopping. I mean, I guffawed. I was not expecting that at all. God love her for just laughing and not breaking down and just running away from the camera, which I absolutely would have done. I would have laughed at someone else. I mean, I will point at you and laugh because it's just a reflex. I know it's an asshole reflex, but it's what happens. I would point and laugh. I wouldn't be able to help you up until I could catch my breath. And then I would help you up and ask if you are okay, because I do care about you. But don't laugh at me that way. Actually, you can. I will laugh with you. But she handled that so wonderfully to have not only sat on a bench and broke it, but the fact that it was on concrete in a warehouse, so it echoed. Oh, Kalani. That was amazing. And what a great sister. She was just like, Jesus Christ, get up, Kalani. You broke the freaking bench. That's all I have to say about them. Because, you know, he's not that great and they need to separate and they shouldn't be together. They're just so different. And she will spend the rest of her life momming him because he never really had a real true mothering. He had a mom, but she didn't teach him all the things a mother should teach their son. Okay. Speaking of mothers and sons, actually, that was a perfect segue. Mike and Natalie. Okay, well, first of all, after that fight last week, Natalie drives back in the truck, which actually concerned me because she seems like she would be the crazy type that would take out a mailbox or a tree and then just be like, oh, she's Mike. I did not know. I did not see. You still love me? Just to be a psycho bitch. Well, she comes home and then all of a sudden, she starts, like, dancing. She does this little prancy dance, and it makes him laugh and giggle. And then he did this weird little peekaboo scare you thing, and he goes, boo! And then she goes, ooh, boo, ooh! And it's like this little creepy game they have with each other. Disgusting. That, how could you have sex with each other after that? It was like a little creepy peeper puppet show thing. She dances and then he pecks at her and they tie each other up and do creepy things with marionettes. It was bizarre. I hated every second of it. So Mike forgives her until he can hold something else over her head or snap at her for something else. He has taken such a tumble from where he was at the beginning of the last season. He even looks like shit. His skin has become spotted and everything. Have you noticed that? There might be something in the water there at the little pond because he's not looking great. Or maybe she's poisoning him with the sushi or something. Maybe that's why he went home. Maybe he had bad sushi and he was going to tear it up in the bathroom. And he was like, I can't do this here because we have production. I'm going home. I don't blame him. And I wouldn't be upset either because he was a real asshole that night and he deserves to get diarrhea. I'm wishing diarrhea on him now. But back inside later, he calls his mom. I think there's a dead rat in the background. There was a cage in an animal that was not moving at all. I don't think it was a guinea pig because I think there was a weird snout? Is that what those sort of creatures have? The head looked weird shaped and it just looked dead. It wouldn't surprise me if maybe they introduced it as a live animal and then it saw Natalie and Natalie's jaw like, hello, little rat, and then it just like died out of fear. But anyhow, while he's talking to his mom with a dead rat in the background, they start talking about Thanksgiving. And Mike points out that, you know, they talk to each other all the time. It's not just a one-off thing. They've talked since the tell-all. They actually talk every morning at 4:10 a.m. They just shoot the shit with each other, talk, talk, talk all the way to work. Now, I know a lot of people, well, I should say, I know a lot of women, a lot of my girlfriends talk to their moms on the way to work, or they used to when they were commuting pre-COVID. And that's totally normal to me, but I'm not going to lie. I think that's really weird if a guy is doing that with his mom. Maybe it's just me, but I just feel like the relationship between a mother and a son is different, especially if the son is married. He has a partner now, but he's leaving in the morning to talk to you for an hour on the way to work. Is that just me? Or does that seem not even codependent? It just seems weird. Like, how much do you have in common that you have that much to talk about every day? I don't even know if I could talk to Dave for an hour on the way to work every day. We're married with two kids. I'd be like, what possibly could have happened in the past however many minutes that we need to be talking this much? What does he tell his mom? Oh, yesterday at work I had this, then I had lunch, then I had dinner. It just seems like too much to me. And it almost seems like maybe I'm projecting things I may have witnessed or been part of. Doris, check it out on Patreon. But it almost seems like his mom was trying to flirt with him and he was kind of flirting with her. Like he was like, hey, what's up, Mamasaurus or Dudasaurus or something really lame like that when they got on the phone. Not normal at all. And then when he starts asking about Thanksgiving, first of all, stupidest question ever. Oh, Thanksgiving, what are we going to be eating? Well, what do you think, asshole? The same thing that everyone's been eating since, what, 1492? I don't know, whenever Thanksgiving started, whenever you started eating Thanksgiving 39 years ago, pretty sure it's going to be a predictable menu. But nevertheless, his mom, whatever the hell her name is, she kind of looks like a, maybe a Gail. No, Trish. That's right, Trish. All I had to do was think of her bangs. And I was like, ah, Trish. Trish, she says she's gonna be making the turkey, maybe some mashed potatoes, some stuffing, some mint chocolate pie. And he was like, my tum-tum, so gross. And then he's like, well, you know, Natalie doesn't eat poultry, so you gonna have anything vegetarian for her? And then she makes some bitchy comment like, well, she can go down the hill, probably by Tamara, and go catch herself a fish. This is so wrong on a couple different levels. First of all, she could have just said, well, we have the mashed potatoes. She can have the mashed potatoes. Yeah, I'll have some green beans or something. She could have been a gracious hostess. Or this would be a better suggestion for me. Hey, Mike, since she's your wife and you are perfectly capable as an adult and you have two hands, why don't you make a dish for your wife and bring it so that the entire meal doesn't center around Natalie's vegetarianism? Bring something for her to eat. You're not incapable. That drives me crazy. Don't expect to go to someone's house and them to have completely, I was going to say renovated, Jesus, have completely altered their menu just to suit that one person. If you have dietary needs, by all means, and if the person is, why? Okay, I'm not giving etiquette lessons. It was just stupid. Bring your tofurkey for Natalie. Bring fish or something like that for her to eat. Offer to make something. This was so stupid, and it was so set up because Mike knew his mom was going to say something bitchy, and because Mike is an asshole and he likes Natalie looking like a monster or like an idiot, he likes hearing his mom totally bag on his wife. They like set each other up for it. It's a gross relationship, and I hate Mike, and I kind of liked him towards the beginning of the season. I mean, you kind of question anyone who goes on this show, minus, let's say, like a Kalani, because I actually love her. What's going to happen if Kalani goes south for us? Like, if she does something that's just unforgivable, I don't even know what it would be. But anyway, I'm going to keep watching this season. Amanda and I are going to be discussing the show on our podcast over there. So head on over there in between now and the next time I bring you guys an episode next month. We're also going to be talking about some Teen Mom 2, anything and everything that's in the news, pop culture wise. I know next week we're going to be talking about Chrissy Teigen and the whole fallout of that and deep dive into some of the past things with her. And who knows what's going to come up by next week. There's just been so much stuff, especially with the royal family. And by the way, you know I have some opinions on Harry and Meghan, but if you are into the royal family or even crime stories or mysteries or the Epstein of it all, check out Misdeeds and Intrigue podcast. That's with my girls, Carrie and Larissa. They're in our Facebook group. You guys know Carrie, Sip and Shine. She and I did Moms on the Rocks. And Larissa, she was one of my very first guests on my podcast. She has a huge amount of experience in television and reality TV. Make sure you guys are subscribed. They are so good. It's one of those podcasts where as soon as a new episode drops, you see it on your phone. You're like, oh my God, I got to listen to it right now. They definitely get me through some workouts. So Misdeeds and Intrigue podcast. And what's coming up this week? Oh, actually, awesome week on Patreon. Hear me out. Unexpected is wrapping up. It finally wrapped up. The show sucked. So Amanda and I are going to knock that out. But we're also keeping up weekly on Seeking Sister Wife. And on Total Request Podcast, this is probably the number one most requested show we've gotten in the past month, 6 weeks. Like probably 10 of you at least have recommended this. Pig Royalty. So at tier one, I will be leading that episode on Pig Royalty, season one, episode one. And I assigned Amanda a real throwback. I already have the theme song playing in my head right now. Season one, episode one, pilot of Dawson's Creek. Yep, I know you're singing it. I don't want to wait. Yeah, it's going to be so, so good. She's never seen the show. She has no idea what she's in for. Oh, Joey, Pacey, Dawson, and Michelle Williams. All right, so that does it. Make sure you check out my sponsors and Patreon links in the show notes. Take care of yourselves. Get those vaccines. And wear a mask if you have to. If not, and you got the vaccine, good for you. I'll talk to you guys later. Stay salty.